The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is the way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Today we listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Salim Yusuf Ali.
Brothers and sisters, the topic that we are exploring in the course of these evenings by the help of Allah is the enlightened journey of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. They say that the tribes of the pre-Islamic era, they used to pride themselves on three things. Number one is the number of people that they had. Number two is the number of horses that they had. And number three is the number of poets that they used to have. One of the most famous poets of that pre-Islamic era was somebody named Imru ibn Qais. And they say Imru, like, he was known as the father of, you know, all this type of poetry. And he was famous for writing about two things. One of them is his passions. And the other one is that they say that his father had been murdered, and so he was always writing poetry about how he would love to take revenge on the person who had murdered his father. But this was the focus of his poetry. He had a lot of rage, and he had a lot of passion as well too. And they say that when it came to the second category, he was known as the poet of freedom, meaning that he advocated absolute freedom in whatever areas he would speak about. Now this was in the pre-Islamic era, and Islam came to transform the people, to guide them towards a better way of living, a better way of expressing themselves. And so what does the Quran say in Surah Luqman 31, verse number 6? Allah Ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي لَهْوَ الْحَدِيثِ لِيُضِلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. There are people who, there are some among the people who they purchase and they buy lahw al-hadith, meaning that they take their money and they purchase words that will be a source of lahw for other people. And they do this with bad intentions. They want to misguide people from the path of Allah. They want to misguide them from the teachings of the Quran. Lahw in Arabic, it usually is translated as a type of diversion or distraction. But when you go into the deep depth of the meaning, it has three components. Number one, lahu is used for something that is distracting us from something which is more important. Number two is that it is something number one is that it's a distraction. Number two is that there's something which is more important that it's distracting us from. And number three is that the way it distracts us is subtle. Okay, I'm saying this again. All of this is I'm trying to work my way up to then talk about what's happening in today's world. So it's a type of subtle distraction that takes us away from something which is more important. And what do these people do? These, you know, in hadith we're told that there were people who were upset about how the Quran was attracting people. And they were used to say that, hey, we want to go back to the way of doing things in the past where we talk about passion and we talk about like acts of violence, and that's what we want to use people's time with. We don't want this thing of learning about, you know, these lofty teachings of Tawheed and about the hereafter and hearing about these pure stories of the prophets. We don't want that anymore. So what they would do is they would actually journey to like these faraway lands, they would get their stories and they would bring them and they would share them with the people. So Allah condemns them and He says that they are people who are taking people away from the path of God. لِيُضِلُّ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. People are doing this, they don't realize what's happening to them. وَيَتَّخِذُهَا هُزُوًا. The commentators of the Quran, they say that, like Allah Ta'ala, He says that what this means is that the effect of these words is such that people start to doubt and make a mockery of the words of the Quran as well. Why? Because when they're in the world of imagination and stories And these stories are the type that are being composed and sung and recited at these different gatherings, then they start to think of everything as a myth. Right? Everything is just a story. They don't realize that there's a difference between that which comes from the Quran and that which is, let's say, sung in this poetry. And then in Surah Al-Shu'ara, Allah Ta'ala in Surah number 26, verse number 209, Allah describes the Shu'ara, right? These poets who were kind of like the prophets of their people in the pre-Islamic era. These guys were the celebrities, right? These are the people that, you know, they would celebrate their existence among the tribe. Allah says about them, وَالشُعَرَاء, He says that as far as the poets, that أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّهُمْ فِي كُلِّ وَادٍ يَهِيمُونَ وَالشُعَرَاء يَتَّبِعُهُمُ الْغَاوُونَ The people who are misguided are the people who follow them. Don't you see that they are going in every valley and they're just roving around those valleys? وَأَنَّهُمْ يَقُولُونَ مَا لَا يَفْعَلُونَ And that they say what they don't do. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا Except for those who believe and do good deeds and remember Allah a lot. This is super interesting, right? Allah condemns the poets, but He describes why He's condemning them. He says that these poets, right? These people who are the source of entertainment, they are the people who are the, you know, people, everyone, the celebrities of the time. What they're doing is that, first of all, that they are causing all these other people to be deceived and they're taking them down the wrong path. Number two is that they don't have any limits. They go into every valley, meaning that whatever they want to say, they say. As long as it can attract people, as long as it's eloquent, if they can make that the quip or that little, you know, sort of satirical comment, they'll put that into poetry. There's no limits on what they have to say. And when they say things, they don't act on what they say. Meaning that these are people who have a lot of claims. They say a lot of things. But they're not in any way people who are role models for you. Because a role model is somebody who puts into action what they say. But not all poets are this way. Those who do believe and those who actually practice the salihat and those who are constantly in the remembrance of God, those are not condemned in the words of Allah. Those are okay. So what's happening here is that the Quran is changing the culture, right? It's saying that this entertainment industry that is present in the time of Jahiliyyah, it needs to be transformed. And it is during the time of the Prophet. But now we fast forward to the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Bani Umayyah. And what is happening at this time? How are they making use of this time, this type of entertainment from the past for their own advantages? And this is important because, again, we're going to connect it to our present times. So we see, for example, that Muawiyah, la'anatullahi alayhi, one of Muawiyah's claims to fame is that he was very strong on this pre-Islamic poetry. For example, we're told that one time one of these poets was reciting at his palace. And afterwards, like, you know, Muawiyah, you know, he says that this poetry is from this person. Muawiyah wants to correct him. He says that, no, it's actually from this person, right? You're claiming it's from this artist, actually from another artist. And they have a little back and forth. And finally, Muawiyah is convinced that, no, it's actually from the other artist. Meaning that he considers himself like a person of, you know, he's a music buff, right? I mean, he knows what he's talking about when it comes to this area of like the poetry and whatnot. Okay? Now, it's more than that. Right? It's more than that. We know that during the time of Bani Umayyah, this love of poetry and music that they had was not just staying in Sham itself, not just in Damascus and the surrounding areas. It was spreading throughout the Muslim world. One of the very shameful things that took place in the years following the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam that was spreading throughout the Muslim lands was the spread of a new form of a music industry. And you know what the capitals of that music industry were? It was actually Mecca and Medina. These were the most holy places at the time. Right? This was the house of God. This is the place that the Prophet was living in. But they became known as the capitals of this type of industry. To the point where when when the Umayyad Khulafa, when they would feel like having like a proper sort of entertainment event, they would actually invite the singers to come from Makkah and Medina to make their way to Damascus, and they would perform over there. This is the type of industry that was taking place.
Oh, Hussein, you live forever in our hearts and in our minds. I swear to Allah, until my last breath, I will remember Hussein. Hussein, you live forever in our hearts and in our minds. I swear to Allah, whenever I face troubles in my life, I close my eyes and see your shrine and call the back every time. Oh, Hussein, you're the love of my heart. You are the light of my eyes. I swear to Allah, until my last breath, I will remember Hussein.